I think it's an interesting topic to discuss. So this is I want to talk about the area of nevuah or prophecy, which is probably something you didn't think we would speak about, but I try to speak on every year, primarily because it's a very misunderstood topic, and I think it's important if we go through certainly the Rambam's way of looking at it, because the Rambam wrote a tremendous amount on prophecy, more so than any other Rishon. The Rambam writes about it in his Perish Mishnayos. He writes about it in Introduction to Chelek. He writes about it in the Mor Nevuchim, a huge section on prophecy there. He writes about it in the Mishneh Torah. As you'll see, it's one of the foundations of Jewish faith. And that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about it. It's a fundamental in Jewish philosophy. According to the Rambam, if you don't believe in Nevuah, you're going to lose your Chelek Olam Haba. So we have to understand, why is believing prophecy so important? What makes it such an important thing? And what exactly is a prophet? And what is prophecy? These are very important questions that I think we need to answer. So that's what we're going to take up. So obviously, let's get our premises in place, okay, in order to have this conversation, so that nobody asks meta questions, okay? So premise number one, there's a God. Premise number two, that God interacts with the universe. So we're not talking about a deistic idea of God. Number three, and you'll see why I'm saying this, mankind has a mind, all right, some non-physical part of him. Those are the things that we need to believe in. That there's a God, that God interacts with the universe, i.e. including man, and that man has a rational, non-physical mind. Okay, those are the three premises to have this discussion. I am not interested in discussing whether or not, those things are valid or not. It is, as you actually, you'll see, it's not even such a Jewish idea, as you'll soon see in a second. Okay, so how important is it to believe in Nevuah? So we'll actually be doing some Hebrew tonight, which I know is difficult for some of you guys, certainly Kalev. Now he's not in Israel anymore, so I know he has a hard time with Hebrew. So I prefer to actually look at the sources and see how this conversation is going to go. So the Rambam, everyone's familiar with the Rambam's 13 fundamentals of Jewish faith. The Rambam has principle number 6 and number 7 dedicated to prophecy. And number 6, he says, Yisodi Shishi HaNevuah. And what is that? To understand that there is that there are individuals, right, who are capable, and you'll see what that means, of what it called having prophecy. Okay? So one of the yesodos, one of the foundations of Jewish faith is to believe in this phenomenon of prophecy itself. Okay? I'm not going to go through what he says here because later I'm going to show you in more detail in the Mishneh Torah how he lays out what the qualifications of prophecy are. But there is a foundation of Jewish faith is to believe that there's such a thing as prophets, okay? And then another core belief in Judaism, which we're also going to discuss tonight, is the seventh Yisod, and the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, okay? And that a Jew must believe that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophet was greater than all the other prophets. As he says over here, he was the father of all prophets. Avian shall call an Avim, okay? And that every prophet, right, is always, in a sense, lower than Moshe, okay? So it's a fascinating idea that the Rambam separates out the belief in Moshe's prophecy, right, or the prophet Moses from all the other prophets. What the Rambam could have done is he could have said, you have to believe in prophets, and within that includes Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's fascinating, and we'll discuss this today, it's fascinating that he carves out a separate requirement to believe in Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is, obviously, why? Okay? Why is there a separate yesod to believe in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu? So you can't try and answer this yet. I know guys like to try to give svaras quickly because we need more information. But it's something I want you to think about, that we're going to establish the Rambam's theory of what a prophet is. And then we'll get into why the Rambam. Okay. All right, so let me ask you something. What characteristics would you think a prophet should have? Okay? I know it's a funny question to start off with, but what characteristics would you think a prophet should have or would have? Great. So you guys are giving me generic characteristics of a prophet. Wonderful. I have a lot of insights I have now. Appreciation of music. Right. Okay. Now, and let me ask you another question. What's the job of a prophet? What's his responsibility? What's a prophet supposed to do? Let's not talk about Moshe. Let's talk about, let's say, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. What are they primarily doing? What is prophecy? What does that mean? What does it mean to receive prophecy? What is that referring to? So the word of God, but does that mean God speaks to the person? And we're going to discuss tonight, exactly how it works, what it means to receive prophecy, okay? Let's discuss this through the Rambam's lens, okay? And I'll show you the areas that, to me, it's always easy to present the Rambam and some of the opposition to his position, which really, you'll see pretty clearly. Okay, so the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah and Perek Zayin tells us that a fundamental in the Jewish faith is to know that God, right, is Minabes B'nei Adam, which means that God, in a sense, right, it creates Nevuah in people, makes people into Nevi'im, okay? Now, who does Nevuah fall upon, okay? Let's see if Granik and everyone else was correct, okay? Chacham Gadol B'Chachma, okay? He has to be very wise. Gibor B'Midosav, okay? What's Gibor B'Midosav? So basically, he mastered his traits, his psychological makeup. I won't go as far as to say what Darius did, which is, I wasn't sure if he was being snarky or not, but when he said, separate from your emotions, but it's a certain mastery a person has to have over his psyche, okay? And then the Rambam says, he's Yetzer, can't be miskaber upon himself about everything. Rather, he is constantly in control of his traits, of his psychological makeup, okay? Those are the two ingredients for someone to be a Navi. One, brilliant. Number two, in control of his psychological makeup. Those are the two primary ingredients, okay? So far, so good? Now, just to be clear, the first part's not the challenging part, okay? You could have great geniuses. The second one's the hard part, because it's a constant state the person is in. The person's constantly in a state where he's always in control of his psychological makeup. He's always aware. There's a certain level of self-awareness that a Navi requires that is very, very, very difficult to even imagine. So that's the unique part. It's not the fact he's a Chacham Gadol. There's a lot of great Chachamim. It's the idea of being miskaber over his Yetzer in a constant way. That's the challenge that separates out a Navi from someone else. Okay? What's the other thing that's so critical about the Rambam, which this is an area where lots of people argue about? The Rambam is, look what the Rambam says here. Shakel Menaves B'nei Ha'adam. B'nei Adam means, B'nei Adam means we're not just limiting ourselves to Jews, but humanity. And as you'll see, the Rambam's going to say, this is a part of the very definition of someone who's human. Look what the Rambam now says. He says, now he goes on. He says, what does this person do? This person who is in control of his psychological makeup and his midos, etc., right? And he's perfected, right? When he goes into the pardes, okay, what's the pardes? But the Rambam says that when the person is engaged in these higher level areas of thinking, I'm going to keep it simple, Yosef, just call it higher areas, okay? And he's able to, and look what he says here. He says, Lahavin, Lahasikhu, Vahum Iskadesh, Vaholechu, Porish, Midarche, Klalam. So one thing is that he's always thinking about higher areas. And he's also separate. He separates himself out from the way people behave. He's not part of the normal nihug of the am. Okay, and this is the most important part. He says he's eladas daito pinuya tamin lamala kshura. Okay, tachas akise. So what does this person do? So he's also, his das is panoi. He's always in tune and open to thinking about God. Okay, so. We have the ingredients and then the state of mind the person has to be in. All he wants to do is mistakel b'chachmasa shakadosh baruch hu kula. He wants to know everything. His mind is always involved in trying to understand the wisdom of God in its entirety. So that's the action or the active aspect of the Navi. The passive part is that he's somebody who has these two traits, this brilliant mind and control of a psychological makeup. And what is he doing all the time? He's constantly involved in trying to understand God and as much chachma as possible, okay? So now at least we're thinning out the pool of possible recipients of this title of being a Navi, okay? So now this is what's amazing, okay? And this is very important. Miyad Ruach HaKodesh Shorah Lav. The moment a person hits the level, okay, of being a prophet, meaning the moment these characteristics all gel together, Chacham Gadol, Misgabra al Yetzer, and he's in a state where he's always, in a sense, thinking about God or whatever, important ideas, immediately he gets Ruach HaKodesh. What's Ruach HaKodesh? I'll accept that. Kinnerik's had a good answer. Intuition. Okay. What else? That's a very rational answer, Kinnerik. What else? What else have you heard of Ruach HaKodesh is? Very good. I like that. Flashes of inspiration. Very good. Okay. Are they natural flashes of inspiration? What do you call them? Right. No, very, very good. Very good. Okay. Now, what's important about... Now, what does it mean to say that automatically he gets Ruach HaKodesh? What does that tell us about the Rambam's theory? The fact that it's automatic. Think about it for a second. The Rambam's saying that... Okay, good. Exactly. It's a natural state in a human existence, meaning a human being, every human being has a natural capability of becoming a prophet. It exists in every single person, all right? And it's built into who we are as humans. So the Rambam's saying is that when a person puts all this stuff together, he automatically gets Ruach HaKodesh. We'll dive into what Ruach HaKodesh is in soon, but for now, just understand it's an automatic thing, okay? And not only that, he says... Uve'esha tenuach alav ruach, right? When he gets his Ruach HaKodesh, his arev nafsho b'mala samalachim, hanikram ishim, okay? Where's Shua? Just to be clear, this is not a psychedelic trip. Rather, he's automatically on the level of ishim. Shua, what are ishim? So what happens? The person, in a sense, right, his mind is risen up to the level of these ishim. That's the level he's on, okay? So he's considered like a malach once he gets his Ruach HaKodesh. So it changes the person completely. He's like changed. He's elevated, so to speak, to be on that level. Okay? But again, just to be clear, right, this is something that is natural. It's a natural result of the state of the person. Okay? Okay. Now, who is not a prophet? Now, this is a direct quote from the Mor Nevuchim. Okay? Look at the Rambam says in the Mor. The Rambam says, among those who believe in prophecy, and even among the co-religionists, there are some ignorant people who think as follows. God selects any person he pleases, inspires him with the spirit of prophecy, and entrusts him with a mission. It makes no difference whether that person be wise or stupid, old or young, provided he be, to some extent, morally good. Okay? For these people have not yet gone as far as to maintain that God might also inspire a wicked person with the spirit. Okay, so what the Rambam is saying is that there are people who believe, which he disagrees with vehemently, that any person can be a prophet, meaning that God chooses somebody, even if he's not on this highest intellectual level, to be a prophet. That's why the Rambam would say that there's no way you can learn out literally that God chose Yirmiyahu, so to speak, to be a prophet in the womb. That can't be. So what is a prophet? So as the Rambam focuses on what the philosophers of the time thought, which is that it's a faculty of man in a state of perfection, which can only be obtained by study. Okay, so again, you need the intellectual capability, right, to be able to, hold on one second. You need the intellectual capability to go ahead and become this prophet, okay? And then he says someone who's ignorant cannot be a prophet. It's an impossibility, all right? It is impossible for someone who is ignorant to be a prophet, right? But if a person is perfect in his intellectual and moral faculties, okay, and perfect as far as possible in the imaginative faculty, he doesn't mention that in the Mor, he mentions it here, then he's ready to become a prophet. Okay? And again, like he says that in the end of... One second. At the end right over here, for prophecy is a natural faculty of man. That's the essence of the Rambam's position. It's not that God chooses people. It's that when person hits a certain level, bam, he automatically hits the point of being a prophet. That's the essence of his theory of what a prophet is. Okay? Let me emphasize that, Yosef. The Rambam does not think that a non-Jew could be a prophet. He could have no knowledge of Torah whatsoever, and he could be a prophet. Yes. Very good. The Rambam, without question, the Rambam believes that even today, someone could be a prophet. Sean, watch this. Wait, Sean. No. Oh, hold on. I'll show you. No, there are prophets today, Sean. Okay? Listen to this line right here. We believe that even if one has a... One second, Dardik. Even if one has a capacity for prophecy and has duly prepared himself, it may yet happen that he's not actually prophecy. What the Rambam is saying is that just because you hit the level of becoming a Navi, right, does not mean you'll ever get Nevuah. You may never get Nevuah. You could be on the level of being a prophet, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll get prophecy. one does not necessitate the other. I always tell when I give over this stuff that it's like when you become a Navi, you grow like an antenna. You have like an antenna, okay? And that antenna is something that is like its frequency is tied to a metaphysical conduit, okay? But it doesn't mean that information will necessarily hit you. So, and the Rambam talks about it's also the Mishnah Torah, but you could spend your whole life, right, being on the level of being a prophet and never actually obtain prophecy. So Sean, theoretically, you could have people today who are on the level of being a Navi, right, who had that capability, who is part of their makeup, but they just never get prophecy. You understand? That is another area. Yes. Oh, we'll get to Ruach HaKodesh. We'll get to Ruach HaKodesh. There is still an idea of Ruach HaKodesh today. I'm not saying I know anyone who gets Ruach HaKodesh, but that could definitely exist. But Sean, the key thing is that you can never say that such a thing can't exist. All right? The idea that after Malachi there is no more Nevuah is wrong. A person has a capability of being a Navi. It's just a question of will he receive prophecy? But it doesn't take away the capability of someone being a prophet. Not everyone agrees with that. There are those who say that no, that after Malachi there are no prophets anymore. One second, that can't be natural. Because if it were natural, then that would imply that God must respond to the person. That's exactly the idea. The fact that God doesn't automatically respond to the antenna demonstrates that that's the separation between something being natural and something beyond man's capability. You understand? If it were forced, the Rambam would have a problem with that. Because what that imply is that God must respond to the person. Yeah, Yosef, what was your question? But that's exactly the point. For a Navi, as you'll soon see, a Navi is somebody who is able to raise himself to a very high level, and there's certain concepts and ideas that he's able to see into that he wouldn't necessarily get on his own, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that a Navi must get information to then transmit to the Jewish people. One doesn't preclude the other. You just think it does, but it doesn't. That's why I use the word conduit. Conduit here is, in my opinion, is a perfect way to describe it because it is a channel that opens up between the individual and God, but it doesn't mean that God makes use of that channel. It just means there's a certain frequency he's on. There's a channel that exists, but it doesn't necessitate a response by God. Moving along. So now the Rambam says, it's also important to understand that prophets don't get prophecy every time they want to, right? Kol Nevi'im Amos Nabim Bechol Eisha Yirtzu, right? Rather, what happens? I think Bluth mentioned this before, but you have to be in a certain happy state to get prophecy. It's interesting he mentions also that you have to be in a state of bidud, mizbodedim. But the point is that a person has to put himself in the right emotional state to get prophecy. So the question is, why? Why is it important for him to be in the right emotional state? Why should he be happy? Why is happiness a prerequisite to get prophecy? Okay, listen, okay. Let's understand how this actually works, okay? Because when you understand how this works, you'll get a better sense of what the Rambam's theory is, okay? There are different levels of prophets, and depending on what level you're on, will determine the nature of the communication. So getting to how God communicates, okay, depending on what level you are on, will determine what type of communication you get, okay? What's the most common method of communication that you've heard of for prophets to receive? Dreams. Okay. All right. So now we'll get into what Ruach HaKodesh is, this idea of Spirit of God. Okay. According to the Rambam, the lowest level of communication is Ruach HaKodesh. Now it's interesting. The Rambam does not consider Ruach HaKodesh to be prophecy. He doesn't say Ruach HaKodesh is Nevuah. That's why he holds that Shlomo and David, even though they got Ruach HaKodesh, weren't technically prophets in the way we understand prophets to be. Okay. They didn't have communication with God. They had Ruach HaKodesh. What's Ruach HaKodesh? Okay. So what's Ruach HaKodesh, okay? So what is Ruach HaKodesh? So I'll give you an example. One example of Ruach HaKodesh is Shlomo being able to write Kohelet, okay? And another one is Yaakov being able to lift the rock. And another one is Uri actually winning in tennis. How are all these examples of Ruach HaKodesh, okay? How are they examples of Ruach HaKodesh? What does it mean to say that Shlomo, right, was able to write Kohelet Ruach HaKodesh? What does that mean? What does it mean that Shlomo needed Ruach HaKodesh to write Kohelet? What does that mean? This. In other words, imagine you had in your mind lots of information, right? like Shlomo did. Let's say Shlomo understood a lot about the human psyche, right? But the ability to take it, to put it all together, okay, to put the entire thing together and actually put it together in this book, so there was something extra that he required or needed to give him that boost, okay? Or Yaakov being able to lift up the rock. And Kinnarik, that's exactly that point also. By Yaakov, it was that on his own, on his own physical limitations, prevented him from lifting up the rock. So there was this extra boost he got, a metaphysical, I'd say, kick that translated into something physical that allowed him to lift up the rock. Okay? So the Rambam, and you'll see in a second, I'll show you a quote from the Mora, but the Rambam has two tracks of Ruach HaKodesh. One is more intellectual, where the person receives like an intellectual boost, right? And the other one is a physical boost. It's almost like an adrenaline rush, but like an adrenaline rush that you couldn't tie its cause necessarily to something physical. Something along those lines. Uri winning in tennis is a separate question. And it depends on the kind of person, okay? Like the Rambam says, the first degree of prophecy, right, is you see what he says here? Induces and encourages him to do something good and grand, okay? Like Yaakov. He's induced, you know, he wants to help out. Yaakov wants to help out the people by the well. And he's like, he's given this extra strength that urges him and like is able to push him over the edge and be able to commit this tremendous deed. And the other one is the intellectual one, which he says here is something, he's got like a new power. Like he says he treats a science or composes hymns, exhorts his fellow men, discusses political and theological problems, okay? It's like he has this extra boost of intellectual power that he didn't have before. Those are the two examples that the Rambam uses of Ruach HaKodesh. So Ruach HaKodesh is the lowest level, okay? It's the lowest level. Now, that being the case, here comes the question it's at this point that the Rambam takes up a very famous question. Well, if that's true, if you're telling me that prophets are brilliant people with tremendous moral character, perfected, imaginative faculty, etc., right? It's at this point in the Mora that he takes up the issue of, well, what about Bilam as an example? We have bad prophets. We have Lavan. We have Bilam. Bilam was a bad prophet, right? He was somebody who was not a good individual. Chazal ripped Bilam. Chazal say that Bilam was like one of the worst people alive, okay? How is it that Bilam was able to get Nevuah? Anyway, so this is a famous question. And the Rambam himself, by the way, just to show what he called Gersley, notice what the Rambam says here. You must know that Bilam likewise belonged to this class when he was good. That's going to be the key line in understanding the Rambam. When Bilam was good, then he could get prophecy. Okay. To be clear, by the way, he got Ruach HaKodesh. Remember? Divine inspiration. It says, Vaisamish lo vayomar. He was overcome by the divine spirit. But the Rambam himself slams Bilam because in the Parish Mishnayos, he says, it is well known that Bilam was wicked and passionate about money. It says that he quotes Chazal that he had sexual relations with his donkey. He encouraged the Jewish women to, sleep with, the Jewish men to sleep with the, Midianite women. So he was not a good person. His moral character was definitely lacking. So how could Bilam have gotten, how could he possibly have gotten Nevuah? Doesn't that violate the Rambam's principle? So what are the answers you can give here? Or so notice how I said before, the Rambam said when he was good. Those few words there, when he was good, to me is the only way you can resolve this, is to say that the Rambam saying that, of course, in other words, Bilam was a genius, right? Bilam was a smart guy, and the Rambam would have to agree that Lavan was a smart guy, that all these people are very, very smart people, okay? The only thing is that the Rambam would maintain that Bilam's moral character must have been in the right place when he got this prophecy. That's the only way that's why he says when he was good. That's why the Rambam puts those words in there, because he's trying to say that, don't think that Bilam was always bad. There were certain points in his life where his moral character was actually good. Overall, he was a bum. But there's moments in his life where he was able to get, he was miskaber al Yitzro, and he was able to get his moral character in order. Eric, I'll take what you said and double down. Let's take Lavan, okay? When does Lavan get his vision from God? When he's chasing after Yaakov, right? So his moral character could not have been in such a high place if he's chasing after Yaakov, you know what I mean? So now the Rambam says, okay, so someone mentioned before that's a misconception, that the Navi gets like a dream and it's all confusing. No, the Rambam says that, and here he says, when the Navi gets his information in a vision or a dream, okay, derech mashal, right, he gets it through a mashal, modiyin lo, umiyad yechakik belibo pistron a mashal. The Rambam says there's never a moment of confusion, that when he gets the dream, he also gets the solution, right, at the same moment, okay, in the Mar Nevuah. So there's never a time where it's not that he has to take the dream and then figure out what it is. The both the dream and the answer are given to him. And he gives example Yaakov. He says when Yaakov had the dream of the ladder, right? He knew it was a mushel for the kings and the future enslavement of us by the kings. Okay. Same with the chayos by Yecheskel, etc. Okay. But he says sometimes what happens is that sometimes they get the mushel and the answer, right? Sometimes they only say the answer, the description. Sometimes they say the dream and the description. That's why you'll see in various prophecies, sometimes you'll see just the message. Sometimes you'll see like imagery and the message, and sometimes you'll see the imagery. But it doesn't mean the prophet had to sit there and make up or figure out on his own what the dream was. We're going to swing over for a second and focus on this point here, which is a very important point. And then get a little more into the mechanics of how this prophecy works. The Rambam,